You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everybody. This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Cashman, about to be joined by Rhett Bollinger, the Twins beat writer for MLB.com, and talk about a Twins team that, as we near the end of this season, it's been an important season for them as far as a stepping stone back towards contention. And, you know, they've seen some good strides in the rotation, particularly from Phil Hughes, starting to see some young talent, you know, impact things at the big league level a little bit. Let's bring Rhett to talk about that. Rhett, first of all, I think, you know, the biggest name in the system, obviously, is Byron Buxton, and it's been a tough year for him and for Miguel Sano. They both basically lost a season of development because of injuries, but sounds like they got some good news with Buxton going to participate in the Arizona Fall League. That'll be big for him, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's really big news. I mean, he had this concussion here in mid-August. It seems like he'll be good to go then by October when the Fall League starts. I think it starts on October 7th. You know, the Twins are a little bit worried how he'd, you know, recover from that. It was definitely a big collision. But so far, from what I've been told from the Twins, you know, the concussion actually, luckily, was kind of minor despite that, you know, big collision. He's only really had some small headaches here and there. Hasn't had any of the problems with, you know, the sensitivity of the light or sound, that kind of thing. So the Twins are happy with that. And, you know, he's feeling healthy enough. They're able to put him on the Fall League roster. So it's definitely good news for Buxton.
Obviously, Rhett, you're around the big league clubs here, not around Buxton himself during the season. But yeah, you do have to wonder, like, how this year has affected him mentally. You know, maybe this will be a good thing for him in the long run. Everything he's gone through, make him appreciate all the more if and when he does get to the big leagues. But I'd have to imagine this has been a frustrating season for him with all that's gone on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to play only one game in Double A, you know, to finally get up there and run in that collision, and obviously miss, you know, a lot of time with the two wrist injuries, it's been a tough season for him. You know, I think there are people who are hopeful that maybe he could start off strong at Double A, and then, you know, get to the majors this year. But instead, he had the wrist injury and started in Single A instead of Double A. And yeah, he's kind of had a setback here. But I think you're right. I think it kind of helps to maybe savor it later, you know, when he gets up here to the big leagues. I don't think, if I talked to Terry Ryan about it, he didn't want to call it a lost season, only because, you know, he's learned so much, you know, from the injuries, that kind of stuff. And sure, I do think that the Fall League will definitely help him here, coming here in October, to get some good competition and see how he does.
Yeah. Obviously, they you know, Buxton is kind of penciled in as the center fielder of the future, but the guy playing center field right now is pretty darn good. And that's Danny Santana, who last week, him and his teammate Trevor Plouffe were Players of the Week in the AL. It's nice to see them get that recognition, and particularly Santana. He's had a terrific rookie year. And I know there's some question about, you know, getting him in the mix at shortstop, and I know they've tried to do that here and there. What's the outlook for him position-wise? Is shortstop going to be the focus next season, do you think?
I think so. I mean, he's been a big surprise for this team. Obviously, he was a top prospect, but no one really thought he was going to hit like this, you know. Definitely thought people, he's more of a speedster. But he's been hitting for high average pretty much all year. Like you said, he was just the player of the week there with Plouffe. But I do think next year they want to get him at shortstop. Maybe he'll start the year at center field again. Obviously, I don't think Buxton's going to make the roster at an opening day at all. I think there's no chance of that. So they still might need a center fielder unless, you know, I'm guessing that Aaron Hicks will be called up here in September, see how he does. But I do think that the position of the future for Santana is definitely shortstop. It's just the Twins have had Eduardo Escobar also have a very surprising season at shortstop too. So the good thing for the Twins is they actually have some options now up the middle, which is definitely something for them moving forward.
Yeah, obviously you don't expect Santana to sustain the batting average he's supposed to hear in about 70 or 80 games. But you look at his numbers, he's really cut down on his strikeout rate from the minor leagues. He's getting on base even more frequently than he did in the minor leagues. How sustainable do they think this stuff is?
That's a good question. I mean, the big thing I think Terry Ryan's always told me with Santana is he's such a good bat control. But I think he sees more pitches around the zone because, you know, the pitchers are just better at locating. And he's able to put the balls in play and hit them hard. And, you know, he has so much speed. And if he gets it on the ground, he can beat it out. So I think that maybe he's going to help by that in the majors, that pitchers are around the zone more. He's definitely a swinger, doesn't walk too much. But you are right. I mean, the strikeout-to-walk ratio isn't very good. And generally, over time, that comes back to bite you a little bit. You know, he can progress back to the mean. And his batting average and balls in play, or his BABIP, I guess you call it, is pretty high, too. You never know how sustainable that is. But he definitely makes a lot of hard contact, doesn't strike out too much, and definitely is, you know, a speedster that can get on base even with a little ground ball. So I do think he can probably hit close to 300. Even in the minors last year, I think he hit like 290. So I think the average can be there. I just wonder how much of that power and the doubles power even, because his slugging percentage is pretty high this year too. how high that can all also stay going forward.
Yeah. I remember hearing some things earlier in the year. He was a little uncomfortable in center field, which is understandably unplayed him much. Have you seen him grow defensively as the season's gone along?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's still some times where he takes a bad route. The biggest thing with him is his speed kind of allows him to make up for some of those bad routes that he takes because, yeah, the repetition just hadn't really been there. He played there a little bit in the minor leagues, but really played mostly shortstop coming up. So for him to kind of make that switch, I remember early in the season when I did it, I was surprised. I thought, wow, I didn't even realize Santana could play, you know, center field. I thought, okay, maybe he'll play out there maybe for a week or two. Kind of fill in here and there, kind of the stopgap bases, kind of. But so far, he's handled it well. Like I said, he's not an elite center fielder or anything yet, but with that speed, he's got a great throwing arm. He's fared just fine out there. He definitely can get better. I think he has been getting better. But, yeah, it's definitely impressive the way he's been able to fit in out there.
Right. You mentioned Aaron Hicks earlier and obviously struggles at the big league level. He's played pretty well since going down to Rochester. Is he a guy we might see come September as a call-up?
I do think so, yeah. I think the Twins want to get another look at him. He has been playing, you know, he's played really well at Double-A. They sent him down there to kind of, you know, totally refocus, reset maybe, and played really well at Double-A, which he should have. You know what I mean? He's better than that Double-A competition right now. And Triple-A has played well, too. So I do think he'll be up here. The Twins want to see what they have in him. He's still, you know, young. I think he's only 24. So it's not like he's a lost cause. A lot of guys have struggled, you know, early in their career, you know, without kind of figuring it out. I mean, obviously, Torrey Hunter, the Twins is an example of that. It took him a while to kind of figure it out, coming up and down a lot early in his career, too. So it's not like it's unheard of for a guy to struggle early, go down and figure it out. So I think the Twins still have some high hopes for him. I think the big thing with him right now is they're trying to get him to play a little bit of the corner outfield spots, too, just because, like we talked about, you know, Buxton's the center fielder of the future, not Hicks. So I think the Twins are trying to see if he can handle, you know, left and right field, which he should, because Hicks is a good center fielder defensively. I don't think the Twins really have any problem with his defense. It's just, you know, his offense so far. And it's been a weird year for him when he drops switch hitting, and now he's doing it again. But the good news is he's seeing results in the minors. I do think the Twins will give him a good look up here in September.
Yeah, sometimes those up and downs, like we say with Buxton with the injuries, sometimes those help you learn in the long run. But another guy obviously is going to be a lot of interest come September is Alex Meyer and whether or not they call him up. I know they're being careful with his innings with the past shoulder issues and maybe it would just be out of the bullpen. But what's your gut feeling on whether or not we see him next month?
I think we could. I think he'd maybe be in a relief role, though. I don't think there's any chance he'd come up here to start. I think because you're right with the innings limit and all that, and even the pitch limit. I mean, he's been throwing a limit of about, sometimes he goes over it, depending on how the game goes and if they're easy innings, but he generally only throws 80 to 85 pitches a game, too, just to kind of, you know, be cautious, that kind of thing. So I can't imagine they're going to bring him up here to start and throw, you know, 85 pitches and take him out after, you know, four or five innings. But I do think maybe get him a taste up here, put him in the bullpen, but I could also see them being conservative and not doing that to go to. But I'd be excited to see him in the bullpen. I mean, he's already throwing 100 miles per hour as a starter. I'd love to see what he could do in one inning stints like that. We saw that in the Futures game. I think he threw four pitches and got out of the inning. So it would be fun to see him. My gut feeling is still kind of more maybe 60-40 or even 50-50. It really is tough to tell the Twins want to do with him right now. But I think the fans would definitely be excited if he come out of the bullpen and get some, you know, taste of the majors here.
Well, the Twins obviously trying to end a run of 90 lost seasons, which you can't keep watching those pile up. They're kind of on the cusp of that this year, and it's led to a lot of discussion, obviously, about Ron Gardenhire. Looking ahead to next year, has been kind of, I wouldn't say conflicting reports, but there are some reports, I guess, that are stronger than others as far as him coming back next year. He's under contract, so that's a big part of it too, I'm sure. But is that just something they'll revisit at the end of the year? Terry Ryan and Ron Gardenhire sit down and talk it through?
Yeah, exactly. What happened was, you know, Terry Ryan did make remarks to the Star Tribune saying that Gardenhire would be back next year. But the next day, Terry talked to us and told us, you know, he didn't retract his statement, but that really that statement, you know, wasn't really set in stone. He hadn't even met with Gardenhire yet about his status. That's something they always do at the end of the season. It was the same thing last year. You know, the end of the season, you know, we had a lot of questions for both of them about whether or not Gardenhire would come back because he wasn't under contract. And they kept telling us, no, we'll meet at the end of the season, we'll figure it out. And sure enough, they met the last day of the season, and Gardenhire said he wanted to come back, and Terry brought him back, and they had a press conference 2 days later. So I'm expecting the same thing will happen this year. Terry, at the end of the season, will sit down with Gardy and see what he wants to do. I don't think there's really any chance, unless they really, you know, tank down the stretch, that they'd fire Gardenhire or ask him to leave. I honestly think the only way that he would leave would be on his own terms. If he just realized, you know, that this all this, you know, losing and struggles has kind of worn him over the years. And the fact that, you know, next year nothing's guaranteed in terms of obviously only one more year left on his deal. Even if they had a good season, who's to say they're going to bring him back? So you never know if he wants to be, I guess, the term, I guess, lame duck manager, where you have only one year and you don't really know if there's anything beyond that. Maybe he's just, you know, seen enough of it. But I still think my gut feeling is just from being around Terry Ryan a lot this season and obviously in the last couple of seasons, I think Guardy's going to come back for one more. And I do think that he'll definitely, if he doesn't, I think it'll be his call and not really the Twins. I don't think there's any chance that Terry or anybody asks him to step down or that they fire him.
Yeah, I think their loyalty to Gardenhire these last few years has been refreshing. It's been an acknowledgement that these teams were not exactly built to win in the present tense. And obviously Gardenhire and Mike Socha, the two longest tenured skippers in the big leagues, have afforded rare long leashes. But yeah, we'll see. I think you're right, Red. I think ultimately this could be Gardenhire's decision. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But I want to thank Red for joining us, and I want to thank you for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.